Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today, the Supreme Court also ruled that nearly half of eastern Oklahoma is legally a Muscogee Creek reservation for the purposes of federal law. In a 5-4 decision, Judge Gorsuch sided with the court's liberal wing in favor of honoring land treaties that were never dissolved by Congress. For more on that and what this means, we're joined on Skype from Tahlequah, Oklahoma, by Rebecca Nagel, host of the Crooked podcast, This Land, which examined the origins of this case. She's also a citizen of the Cherokee Nation. Rebecca, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, and there are a lot of implications of this decision. First of all, tell us about some of them and what this means.
Yeah, so the court ruled that Congress created a reservation for Muscogee Creek Nation through multiple treaties throughout history and also never disestablished that reservation. You know, there's some language in Gorsuch's opinion that is pretty strong for Native rights, that basically, you know, there are a lot of times that courts in the past have ruled that if it's inconvenient for a state or for the government to follow a treaty, that can be reason enough. And Gorsuch and the justices that joined him soundly rejected that idea. And so Muscogee Creek Nation is the fifth largest tribe in the United States. It has a reservation of about 3 million acres in northeastern Oklahoma. But there are four other tribes that have a very similar, almost parallel history to Muscogee Creek Nation. And the implication is that because the court upheld Muscogee Creek Nation's reservation, those four other reservations are upheld as well. And that includes the reservations of Cherokee Nation, the Choctaws, the Chickasaws, and the Seminoles.
And when it comes to the things that I guess some people would consider inconvenient about this, what does this mean for people who had been tried in the past in this part of eastern Oklahoma? Does this throw their convictions in some cases into question?
Not very many. That was one of Oklahoma's main arguments. You know, they had a whole host of arguments that basically the sky would fall down and it would be the end of life in Oklahoma as we know it. And I think in the coming months, we're going to see that those arguments never held any water. The truth is that it's actually really, really hard to appeal a conviction once you've been convicted. So, you know, think about states that have legalized marijuana, but still have hundreds of people in jail for possessing pot. Like, just because this law has changed, a lot of people who are currently imprisoned, who are Native people who committed crimes on one of these reservations, time has actually just run out for them to file what's called a federal habeas petition. So there will be a handful of cases of past convictions where people will have the grounds to appeal, but most of them won't. And I actually did, with the help of a paralegal, that research. You know, we looked at a sample of 300 of these past convictions, and we found that less than 10% were eligible for an appeal. Mm-hmm.
Now, this was a complicated case that started with a murder. Just give us a little history of this Supreme Court case.
So in 1999, a Creek citizen named Patrick Murphy killed another Creek citizen named George Jacobs, and he was sentenced to death. But in his appeal of that death penalty, he argued that Oklahoma did not have the jurisdiction to convict him of that crime because his crime occurred on a reservation. And in the summer of 2017, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals agreed, and they affirmed that the reservation of Muscogee Creek Nation was never taken away by Congress. And that case went to the Supreme Court. We were all, you know, this time last year waiting for the decision. And then the Supreme Court didn't make one. And then they postponed it. And then this year they granted cert to a second case, Jim C. McGirt, who, you know, committed different crimes, but basically appealed his case on the same grounds that it happened on a reservation. And so that's the sort of winding story of how, you know, a small town murder in eastern Oklahoma in 1999 turned into one of the most important Supreme Court decisions for indigenous land and treaty rights in the United States.
Now, in addition to following this case as a journalist, you're also, as we said, a citizen of the Cherokee Nation. What does this decision today mean for you personally?
I I get emotional thinking about it. You know, I, the first thing I did once the decision was up, I just went to see who wrote it. And when I saw it was Gorsuch, I just started sobbing. You know, we as our original homeland is not actually Oklahoma. We were removed here. And when we traveled the Trail of Tears, we were promised that this land would be ours as long as the waters ran and the grass grew. And for over a century, Oklahoma and the United States government has not kept that promise. And today, the Supreme Court did.
That is Rebecca Nagel, who is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation and host of the Crooked podcast, This Land, joining us on clearly a momentous day for Native Americans and for this country. Rebecca, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.